Think about that. Mansion, 72 degrees all the time. Perfect. Amen. You say, no, that's too cold, too hot, too... It'll be just right, whatever it is. Amen. That is exciting. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, let's see. I did want to introduce to you, because they didn't get introduced last week, Larry Shipman, right over here to my right, and Joyce Cunningham. Good to have these folks with us. They were here last week, came in, thought we might start at 11, but anyway, we didn't get to meet them. We did, but you didn't. So anyway, good to have Larry and Joyce here. And then I believe Muriel has a guest. You have a guest here, Muriel? Fantastic. Good to have you folks with us today. What a blessing. That is wonderful. Always good to have visitors. And praise the Lord. All right, we are in Psalm, the book of Psalms, 23rd chapter. Familiar passage of Scripture. You say, it should be obvious that we did a couple of funerals in the last couple of weeks because John chapter 14, obviously, I read that at every funeral, pretty much every funeral, and read it to people just before they go to heaven, talking about the mansion. Well, I also always read Psalm 23. It is a psalm of comfort, and I'm going to preach on this today from a little different standpoint. I've preached on the Lord as my shepherd and preached different parts about this, but I want to key on another portion here, and one that we don't really... We do think of Psalm 23 for this reason, but I don't know that I've ever preached on this before. But he says in verse 4, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." But here's why. "For thou art with me." And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Thou art with me. Now, he's talking about in a valley here. He's talking about in a valley. A valley typically is not a good place. And the valley of the shadow of death, I do want to remind you, for the Christian, it is just a shadow. Shadows can't hurt you, amen? I mean, they come and go, and they don't hurt you. If you happen to ever be a shadow boxer, you never have anything to worry about. Because the shadow doesn't hit back, all right? You never have to worry about that shadow. But the key to the valley, and the key to success, the key to having a blessing, the key to making that valley a good place, is the fact that thou art with me. You know, if God is with you in the valley, it's okay. If God's with you on the mountain, it's wonderful. If God's with you on a hill, it's great. If God's with you in the valley, it's wonderful, because God's with you. Thou art with me. I look around at people that, you know, some are in the valley. We have folks here that are in a valley. We have some folks here that are just getting out of a valley. We have some folks up on a mountain. We have some folks here that are up on a hill. We have some folks here that are, you see the valley coming. You know it's coming. Oh, for some it's a doctor visit this week. For some it's a doctor visit that is a surgeon doctor, and you're going to talk to him. And for some it's job issues. For others it's maybe a home issue. But the valley, you know, thou art with me. The psalmist, again, let's understand, David, he knew valleys. He understood valleys. He understood mountaintops. He understood hard times. He understood good times. He understood all of that. The key thing to all of it, and as you read the Psalms, is thou art with me. Let me ask you, is he with you today? Is Jesus with you today? Do you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you been born again? Are you saved? If not, you need to get saved today. And Christian, just as a reminder to you, thou art with me as a Christian. Oh, listen, don't push him away when you're in the valley. You need him. You need him on the mountain. Don't forsake him. Don't forget about him on the mountain. But you need him in the valley. Thou art with me. Father, bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, Psalm 23, as always, it's been a wonderful chapter, giving comfort to many, many folks at funerals and certainly in the hospital. And these words, again, come to us under what we would consider the worst circumstances, and that is in a valley. And I do want to remind you of something in a song that I remember from years and years ago about being in the valleys. You know, it is always in the valleys that the most beautiful flowers grow, the most beautiful plants are, the best trees. They're always in the valley. And yet, you know, we recognize that valleys in the Bible, when it talks about a valley, it's a tough time. It's a very difficult time. And I know we all love the mountaintops. You know, Kathy, this time last week, she's all excited and ready to go to the fair and tell people about Jesus. And it's been kind of a mountaintop. But watch out, because at the end of every mountain is a what? A valley. But at the end of the valley is a mountain. And that is life. And it is so wonderful to know that, yes, the mountain, we love it, but typically the mountaintop, there isn't a whole lot growing up there. Typically the mountaintop, I mean, you look around the trees, there's just not a whole lot of trees way up there on the mountaintop. Now, we like the mountains, don't get me wrong, but it's in the valley where the growth takes place. And it's in the valley where the Christian life, you know, really, it's where we grow. It is where we grow. It is where we learn. And please don't misunderstand me. I love the mountaintops, and I'm not saying we don't learn things and that, but it's down there in the valley when we have no idea what we're going to do. When things aren't going the way we thought they should, when things are difficult for us, it's down there in that valley where God's word becomes very real to us. All of a sudden, God's presence is very real to us. We've got to have him. It's where the dear Holy Spirit, time after time after time, has to come and wrap his arms around us and give us the comfort that only he can give. It's in that valley that we recognize that God is real, and God is going to take care of us and meet our needs and help us to get through that situation. I remind you, in 1 Kings chapter 20, the Bible says that God is the God of the hills and the valleys. He's still God. It may seem like a deep valley to you. It may seem like a trial that is impossible to you, but our God is still God. And the beauty of the valley is, thou art with me. Thou art with me. Oh, please, if you're on the mountaintop today, you know, because, hey, I got to lead somebody to Christ at the fair. I got to tell people about Jesus, and you're up on that mountaintop. Don't forget that God is the one who made that all possible for you. Don't you dare forget that you need God on the mountain, because it's in the valley that we often find ourselves looking up, God, where are you? I need you. And God becomes so special to us. I want to talk to you about seven of the main valleys in the Bible. And these seven main valleys really have a correlation with life and the valleys that we go through in life. Number one, of course, is the Valley of Siddim, which I call the Valley of Sin. The Valley of Sin. And it is the original site of Sodom and Gomorrah. It is called the Valley of Siddim. It is also called a place of slime pits. And I don't know of anything more slimy and nasty than sin. Sin is so wicked. It is so vile. It is so nasty to you and I that it is certainly a valley in our lives. It's amazing how we find ourselves in that valley often. It's amazing how we fall for the lies of the devil and we get into that valley of sin. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah was certainly a valley that was wicked and vile. In fact, it was so wicked and vile that God rained down fire and brimstone and literally hell fire on earth. Again, Sodom and Gomorrah, mostly known for the sin of homosexuality, the Sodomites and all of that, but there were so many other vile sins in Sodom. Literally, sin abounded everywhere in that valley. You know, we see that sin abounds everywhere in our world because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one person that, we look so good. Well, I don't know if we look good, you look good. I mean, I can't imagine anybody on this side sinning. Well, and over here, I mean, there just can't possibly be. And yet, it just looks so good, but we're all sinners, the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So every one of us knows about that valley. Every one of us at one time or another, you know, we have dipped our foot into that slime of sin. We have put our lives and allowed ourselves to be in this valley of sin where literally sin abounds in our life. You say, well, I haven't done anything too bad. My Bible says we all come short of the glory of God. Every one of us comes short. And if we come short, short is short. Hell is hell. It doesn't matter. Well, you know, I went to hell, but I was really a good person in it. No. Listen to me. There aren't any good people in hell. We're all sinners. We all deserve hell. And we all know that valley of sin. We know the valley of sin no matter what sin we've committed, whether it's a lie and we got caught, whether it's some habit that was a bad habit in our lives. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Everybody knows the valley of sin. You know, we try to defend our sin sometimes. Sometimes we try to, and by the way, no matter how you defend your sin and everything else, when you're home alone and that sin and that valley and that slime is all around you, the tears come to your eyes. And you may defend it all you want, but God knows. God knows the guilt. God knows what you go through. We may proclaim, I have a right to do this sin. I have a right. But that doesn't change the misery that sin brings into our lives and that valley. Oh, this valley takes a toll. It takes a toll with alcoholism. It takes a toll with drugs. It takes a toll with pornography and immorality and crime and lying and cheating and murder. And the list goes on and on. But thank God, thou art with me. Jesus Christ took my sin on himself and he died on a cross to pay for my sin in full. Thou art with me. It is so refreshing to know that as I started realizing my valley of sin in my life as a teenager and realized that I was lost and realized that I was guilty and realized that if I stood before God on my own merit, I would go right straight to hell. So wonderful to know that I have an advocate, that I have the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for me, and all I needed to do is call upon him and accept him as my Savior. Praise the Lord. The valley of sin has been defeated on the cross of Jesus Christ. If you're here today without Christ, you ought to get saved. It's on the cross that my sin was paid for. Praise God. Your sin was paid for too. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Number one, valley where thou art with me. God made a way. The valley of Siddim or the valley of sin. Number two is the valley of suffering. This in the Bible is called the Valley of Achor. It's where Achan and his family were punished because of sin and they were stoned to death. And again, because of sin. Let's just be reminded that there is a lot of suffering in our lives because of sin. There's a lot of suffering. As a parent, we used to tell our kids, now listen, son, you did wrong and I've got the paddle. Remember paddles? Remember paddles? Yeah, you say, Pastor, you shouldn't talk about it. Well, the Bible talks about that. So I talk about that. If the Bible says it, I'm going to talk about it. And I remember I'd take my paddle and I would say, son, this is going to hurt me a whole lot more than hurt you. And he just looks at you, sure it is. Sure it is. Oh, you know, as a parent, it's tough, isn't it? I'm going to tell you, I remember my dad getting out the red paddle. The red hot paddle, amen. And I remember Dad, and he would say things like that. It's kind of funny how, you know, what goes around comes around, or whatever that saying is. But I'm going to tell you something. Punishment hurts. By the way, it's supposed to. Amen. It's okay. It's a Baptist church. You can amen. It's supposed to hurt. Punishment is supposed to be tough. It's supposed to hurt. It's supposed to remind us. And the truth of the matter is, it is a valley. It is a valley. The result of sin. Okay, if the Bible says the wages of sin is death, why should we ever, ever try to cover that up somehow? If we're going to warn people about the consequences of sin, if God says the consequence is death. Well, we know that means hell, but it's punishment. It's nothing good comes out of sin. But preacher, you don't understand. Boy, you know, I went drinking last night and had a great time. And you know what? You had your great time. But what did it cost you? See, what did it cost you? How many brain cells did you lose? What did it cost you? How many people now did you hurt? What did it cost you? What did it cost you? Oh, I remember my parents when they were alcoholics. I remember very clearly. Friday night, they went out and got drunk. Saturday morning, they said, shh, don't move. I said, why not? They'd say, don't move. I remember a fly buzzing around my dad one time. He said, oh, where is that plane coming from? I said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm having a hangover. And he said, don't move for hours. Don't move. He'd get so miserable. They'd go throw up. And I used to think, huh, so a couple hours last night, you went out and got drunk, and you thought that was a lot of fun, and you paid for it the whole next morning. I don't get it. But whether it's alcohol, whether it's lying, whether it's cheating, we've all been there where you know, when we were especially young, you know, we told that lie, and mom always knows, and mom said, tell me the truth, and you're sitting there. Man, nothing's worse than that. And you know she knows. Sin brings suffering. By the way, the result of sin, the book of Genesis, read it in your Bible. I mean, the result of sin is suffering. Adam, what'd you pay? Well, now I got to work by the sweat of my brow. Every man, you know, honestly, you go outside in the heat of the day and you have to work and you have to sweat. And that's part of the suffering. I think mosquitoes are part of our suffering, to be honest with you. And we know the thorns are and the thistles and all that kind of stuff. And Eve, what's your problem? What happened? Well, from now on in childbirth, there'd be pain. Have you ever read Genesis and wondered, hey, if they hadn't sinned, wonder how easy it would have been? Well, let me ask you. You don't stand up and tell me, but you think about it in your own mind. If you hadn't sinned, how much easier would it be? Come on, people I counsel with over and over and over again, their biggest problems, biggest trials, biggest hang-ups, whatever it may be, the biggest valley is because of some sin somewhere along the line. It burns us every time, and it causes suffering. And I got news for you. Here in the United States of America, the problems that we are facing today is not because of all the heathen out there. My Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, God says this, shall humble themselves and pray, but he also says, and turn from their wicked ways. What's caused the problem in our nation? It's us. It's the Christians who are becoming just like the rest of the world, turning from our wicked ways. But thank God. Again, the more we accept sin, the more that we are willing to dip ourselves into that valley of Achor, there's going to be suffering. There's going to be suffering. And for the Christian, there's going to be chastening. Again, thou art with me. You say, that's not a good thing. You know, we all remember, you know, mom used to say, you wait till your dad gets home. I always kind of felt bad being the dad after my wife told the kids that. You know, you get home, you'd love the kids to run, Daddy, 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 we love you. Instead, they're hiding. Right? I got news for you. You're not going to sin and get away with it. None of us can. You say, but I'm saved. And amen. Praise the Lord. You're saved. But I got news for you. There is a God, and whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he chastens us because he loves us, because he wants us out of that valley. He wants us away from all that. And sometimes it is a tough thing. You know, I've preached this, and I remember especially when our kids were little, you know, it's so sad sometimes we'll spank our children. And again, spanking is in the Bible. And we'll spank our kids and then send them to the room fooey on all that stuff. We never did that. I spanked my kids, and then I hugged them and loved them. And that's what our Heavenly Father does. He doesn't send you away. He'll deal with you. He'll deal with your sin. He'll deal with it as a loving father. But he's right there to give you that great big hug and hold you and love you and let you know, I'm there with you. Thou art with me. Thou art with me, even in suffering, even suffering for our own sin. He's there in the valley of sin. He's there in the valley of suffering. Number three, he's there in the valley of shame. The valley of shame. The valley I speak of is the valley of Gehenna in the Bible. And it's a garbage dump. That's what it is. It's the same word that is used sometimes for hell because it is always burning, this valley of Gehenna. It's always burning, constantly. Just there's always smoke coming up. And so that word is often used for hell. The shame and the guilt because of sin. Again, you have to understand, it is a valley in our lives when we don't deal with our sin. Again, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. But I'm talking right now to Christians who have stuff. They have stuff that they've never gotten right with the Lord. It could be unforgiveness. It could be bitterness in your life from years ago. It's stuff that just torments and it's just always burning like the valley of Gehenna, the valley of shame. But I want to remind you, thou art with me. You know, there's folks here that deal with guilt. I'm thinking of people that you deal with guilt all the time, and you know, Satan is just constantly pointing and saying, well, you did this, and you did this, and you did this. And here's what I'm telling you. Get it right with Jesus. Because he holds out his nail-scarred hands, and he says, I'll forgive you. You don't have to feel guilty all your life. You know, I know that I'm guilty, but Jesus says there is therefore now no condemnation. But I got to get it right with him. I got to take it to him. Thou art with me. Is there some shame in your life? Is there something in your life that you just haven't brought to him and given to him and laid it on the altar? I beg you to lay it on the altar today. No Christian should live with guilt. That is a valley you should not live with. There is no reason that you would live with guilt. When you get saved, yes, it is gone. But when you, as a Christian, when you mess up again, he will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a matter of him just washing you off. You do not have to have that shame and that guilt because it's a valley. It's a valley for so many. You know, there's people that never end up doing anything for God because they feel so guilty about all the stuff. Jesus is there. Thou art with me. How about number four, the valley of sorrow? The valley of sorrow. Boy, I'll tell you, we know that. This is the valley called Kidron in the Bible. It's between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. And when David was fleeing for his life because his own son Absalom was trying to kill him and take away the kingdom, you remember. 2 Samuel 15:23, it says this, the king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. The king also himself had to go into that valley. Oh, come on, preacher, kings, everybody has been in the valley of sorrow. Everybody, even the king, all people face the valley of sorrow. It can be a very deep valley. It can be a loss of a loved one. It can be a sickness. It can be a job issue. It can be a marriage issue, a family issue, a child issue. It can be any number of things. Everybody has faced this valley. It's a deep, deep valley. By the way, the valley of Kidron today is called the valley of Jehoshaphat. And there lies a cemetery where there's been lots and lots of sorrow. So many tears. So many tears. But the key, again, thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Boy, what a blessing to know that at a time of sorrow, thou art with me. What kind of sorrow are you going through? What was it that you wept into your pillow last night and fell asleep with tears? What kind of sorrow do you go through? Because we all do. It's a valley everybody faces. What is the sorrow? I remind you, dear friend, thou art with me. The psalmist David, who saw sorrow, he knew sorrow. He knew the sorrow of his own sin. He knew the sorrow of losing those that he loved. He knew the sorrow of a loved one turning against him. He knew about sorrow, and he realized, though, that thou art with me. I'm not alone in this thing. God, you're with me. sometimes it's one of the greatest things. It's one of the reasons I believe God allows a storm in our lives, is so that we'll get close to Him and hug up to Him and say, oh God, I've got to have You. Today you may feel like you don't need God. I'm going to tell you something. You do. You do need Him. I think of all the times that I've been there myself in the valley of sorrow. And I think about the times that God was so special to me. I think about the times I've watched others go through. Some in this room right here that have been through that valley of sorrows, and I've watched God put a smile on your face. I remember Kathy Dehas, a very, very dear friend of ours. Ken, her husband, was my assistant pastor at our church back in Bern, Indiana, and he was killed in a head-on collision right in front of our church on a Sunday night, 11 o'clock. After the evening service, he had gone to some people in the church and they'd fellowshipped. And on their way home, a fellow fell asleep right in front of our church, hit him head on, killed him instantly. He was 30 years old. And I remember Kathy, who was sitting beside him in the car when the wreck took place. And the only thing that probably saved her life is she hit her head on the rearview mirror and took 40 stitches across her head. Their son Joseph in the back seat was 7 years old. We were just young people ourselves. And I remember going and standing there, looking at the car after the wreck, and my best friend in the front seat slumped over the wheel, his body there, his soul in heaven. I remember the sorrow as I went to the hospital and saw Kathy with her head gashed open and Joseph in the room as a seven-year-old boy, and the doctor said, she doesn't know yet. I said, what do you mean she doesn't know? Well, we were waiting on somebody to tell her. And I remember telling Kathy, just a young woman herself, and her son, seven-year-old Joseph, that her husband, his daddy, was killed in the car that night. But that's not what I remember more than anything. I remember at the funeral home, I remember walking in thinking, how am I going to help Kathy? How can we help her and Joseph? What can we do? And I remember seeing the casket off in the distance. And Kathy, I saw her and her head was all bandaged from the 40 stitches. And she was smiling. And I said, wait a minute. Is that Kathy? It has to be. And I saw little Joseph, and he was smiling, and people were coming, and they were weeping, and the long, long line that was going, because, again, we were very well known in the community, and Ken was, and that long line, and all those people are, and they're all coming, and Kathy's putting her arms around them, patting them on the back, saying, it'll be okay. Ken's with Jesus. And I remember thinking, she's found something out. She found out that Thou art with me. And I watched her encourage and help person after person after person as they came through that line. Same thing with another one of my best friends, Brother Phil Kashanik. His wife Carrie was pregnant for their first child, and Phil's heart just stopped beating. He was enrolled at Fairhaven Baptist College, going to be an evangelist, and his heart, one morning, it just stopped beating. To this day, they never did say, didn't call it a heart attack, his heart stopped beating. And here's Carrie, who's pregnant, and again, it was one of those things where I'm thinking, okay, we've got to help her. Here's a young widow, they were in their 20s. What are we going to do? How can we help? And I remember walking up to the casket and looking in the casket, and the flowers were beautiful and everything, and over in the corner of the casket, you remember this, Brent, was a little group of flowers that said, Daddy. And I thought, Phil's not going to get to see his little, eventually a little girl that was born. And I couldn't hardly handle it. And I turned, and there was Carrie with a bright smile on her. I'll never forget it. And again, she's putting her arms around people and saying, it's okay. It's all right. God's going to take care of you. It's okay. Phil's in heaven. He's with the Lord. And she learned something. Thou art with me. I remember at the cemetery, preaching the funeral for Ken. Phil had died before Ken. And preaching the funeral for Ken, I remember we went then to the cemetery, and I remember standing there after the service was over and everybody was getting in their cars and leaving, and I was just standing there alone. And I looked over to my left. My best friend has just been put, the casket had been lowered down into the vault, and I had stood there and kind of watched all that. And I looked over to my left, and there was the headstone that said Phil Kashanek on it, who was another best friend. And I remember realizing, I'm in the valley, and everybody's gone. But some arms came around me that day, and I'm not spooky. I'm not trying to be spooky. But the dear Holy Spirit of God put his arms around me, and he said, I'm with you. It's okay. Now, you're going through some sorrow today. You've got some tough things in your life. You need to know that God's with you. He will take care of you. The valley of sorrow. There's always the valley of standing. We call that the valley. It's in the Bible, it's the valley of Elah. And you know the story, David versus Goliath. David, the only one, the shepherd boy. The guy that nobody would ever expect, he stood. Everyone else cowered at the giant Goliath, and David said, wait a minute, is there not a cause? And all these soldiers who had been trained to fight, they're all hiding from this giant Goliath because they knew physically there's no way we can defeat that giant. He'll kill us. And David comes in and he says, is there not a cause? And here's what David's saying in that valley of Elah. He's saying, thou art with me. And you know the story. And we tell it to our kids, and yet we think it's for the kids. It's for us. To stand no matter what goes on when the forces of hell rise up against God. We have to stand. And that's exactly what he did. It is a valley that so many of us fail. Right in the middle of it, David stood. You know the story. You talk about failing. Elijah had just had a great victory, and Jezebel said, I'll kill you! And he went under a juniper tree and started pouting. And you know what? God had to remind him, Elijah, hey, man of God, I'm with you. I'm all alone. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll go. Elijah, I'm with you. Oh, yeah, that's right. You are with me. Don't forget, dear friend, as you stand, as the forces of hell rise up against you at work, in your family, in your neighborhood, wherever it may be, you're not alone. Thou art with me. Number six is the valley of Jezreel, which I call the valley of strife. The valley of Jezreel, many battles have been fought there over the years. My Revelation class, they know all of this. They have it all memorized. Gideon, of course, had the battle with the Midianites in the valley of Jezreel. And in history, it was an encampment for Napoleon. Before his battle, it was a very strategic place. I call it the Valley of Strife. In the future, it is where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. The Antichrist will lead his armies against God. We call it a battle. It isn't much of a battle. It's, in fact, God speaks, and it's over. Not much of a battle. But you know, strife is a valley, and there's a lot of strife in life. Amen. Maybe you're facing some of that strife at home. Maybe you're facing some of that strife at work. Maybe you're facing some of that strife with your family. Strife is very real. I remind you, in the valley of strife, thou art with me. Thou art with me. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ at that battle of Armageddon will come down on his white horse. Amen. And it'll be over. I tell you what, he's come many times when there's been strife, and he's gotten me out of all kinds of things because he's with me. I close with the last valley. It's the valley of Eshkol. And I call this the valley of surrender because it is a valley. Children of Israel were supposed to go into the promised land. They saw the grapes of Eshkol. Boy, what a beautiful place. It was everything God had promised them. We call it the abundant Christian life. Jesus said that ye may have life, but that ye may have it more abundantly. So many Christians, you've settled for life, but you haven't settled for the abundant life. Hello? Oh, well, I'm saved. That's enough. It's not enough. Because he has the other side of Jordan for you. He has the grapes of Eshkol. He has the promised land. He has the land of milk and honey. He has blessings, answers to prayer. A reason to shout and be excited instead of coming to church and going, he's got it all. But I'm just telling you, I call it a valley because it's called the valley of, I call it the valley of surrender. All the children of Israel, all they had to do is just say, God, we trust you, and go in. You know the story. Two of the 12 spies said, we need to take the land, just like God said, let's go. Hallelujah. Joshua and Caleb. But 10. Well, look at the enemy. There's a lot of enemy. There's a lot of bad guys. They've got big weapons. I don't think we can whoop them. Wait a minute. God said, it's yours. You know what's kept a lot of Christians from just giving their lives to God and surrendering? We sing, I surrender all. We sing it many times for invitations. And I often wonder how many people, you're not telling the truth. Because you don't surrender all. It stops us because we look at the opposition. Yeah, but what about, well, instead of, God says, wherever I step foot on that land, it's mine. God has so much he wants to give. God has so much he wants to do for us. And we forget in that valley of surrender, thou art with me. Yeah, but the bad guys, they look at us like we're grasshoppers. But thou art with me. Thou art with me. I beg you today. I sat down. I talked with two people that were one just out of high school, one a senior in high school. And I just said, and they both said that they were saved. I said, have you ever just said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do? And they looked at me like I'm nuts. Well, we're planning on, no. Have you ever just said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do? You say, yeah, boy, preacher, those young people. But I'm not talking just to young people. I think about a lot of gray-haired folks today that have never just said, God, I'll do whatever. Well, preacher, God's done with me. Really, I don't see you like this. That's when he's done. Yep, I'm still alive. I guess he's not done with me. So what do you do, preacher? I'm going to tell him, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. It's a valley when God speaks to your heart about making a decision. It's tough, isn't it? But he says, I'm with you. I'm with you. You know, in just a minute, we're going to give an altar call, and it's decision time. He says, I'm with you. In fact, he's the still small voice that's telling you, just give it up. Do it. Do what I've told you to do. Surrender. Do what I'm telling you to do. He's there in that valley. Thank God, thou art with me. In the valley of sin, the valley of suffering, the valley of shame, the valley of sorrow, the valley of standing, the valley of strife, and the valley of surrender, thou art with me. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I am not saved. If I died right now, I really don't know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm the only one looking. Nobody else is looking. You say, I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. Anyone? Pray for me. God bless you. You can know you're going to heaven. In a moment, we'll give the invitation. I'm going to ask you to come. Somebody will take a Bible. They'll show you how to be saved, how to know for sure you're going to heaven. I see you. God bless you. I'm praying for you to get saved. I wonder if there's someone here today who is already a Christian. You're already saved, but God's speaking to your heart about something today. You'd say, please pray for me. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Several folks, come today. Yeah, that valley of decision. It's just, but it's hard. Yeah, but thou art with me.